I got a text from a friend of mine who was in Eretz Yisrael for Purim, and he was staying at his parents' apartment in Israel, and he texted me on Motzai Shabbos following Purim that he's leaving Eretz Yisrael now, and he's leaving the apartment, and no one's going to be in the apartment till Pesach. Is he obligated in Bedikas Chametz? So does he have to do Bedika before he leaves? So the truth is, it's not a Shaila. And the reason it's not a Shaila, for a very simple reason, that it's not a Shaila, of course he does not have to do Bedikas Chametz, because... let's say even if it is his place, he's right, a single guy, let's say, right? He doesn't have to do Bedikas Chametz, obviously, because his parents are going to do Mechiras Chametz. They're going to sell all the Chametz anyway, so you don't have to do Bedikas Chametz on a place that you're going to sell. You know the Chametz is there, it's going to belong to a guy, and that's perfectly fine. So that's the real truth, is that on that level, once we, so many of the halachos of Bedikas Chametz, even halachos of what to do when you find Chametz on Pesach, may change now that we do Mechiras Chametz. We have to realize all the sugyas in the Gemara did not assume Mechiras Chametz. We hadn't yet come up with that ingenious solution to the problem of Chametz. We used to be called a mitzvah, now we call problems, so we get around them. So we hadn't yet come up with an ingenious solution to just sell the chametz to other people. We came up with it by Bechor, yes, the Gemara of Becharos talks about it. We hadn't come up with it when it comes to chametz. So for example, like you find chametz on Pesach, so what do you do? So the Gemara says, what do you mean, what do? You burn it right away. Oh yeah? Well, if you had sold it to a guy before Yantif, and now you find it on Pesach, you burn it right away, you know what that makes you? A ganav, gezel goy is also ram paskins midaraisa. It's an issa daraisa to steal from a guy. So how could you do such a thing? So it happens to be you can, because we ask John Brown. Certainly, if you sell to any rabbi who sells to John Brown, because Rabbi Willig is makbid to ask John Brown every year. He always says, John, it makes us very uncomfortable when we find chametz where it doesn't belong in Pesach. It makes us feel very uncomfortable, so uncomfortable that we want to destroy it like right away. Would you mind? You know, the majority of your chametz is safe. But you know, would you mind if when we found a small amount of chametz that is not where it's meant to be, if we were destroyed? He says, that's fine, I'm getting enough chametz anyway. He's always, so unless he says otherwise this year, generally speaking, you're allowed to do, but really it's a shaila. So also, they should obviously make sure to sell all their chametz. If you have an apartment in Israel and you live in America, or vice versa, or if you're going to be on the West Coast for Pesach, you have to make sure that your zmanim are right. There's a major machlokas what the zman of the Yisro chametz is. Is it the zman where the chametz is, or the zman where the bal hachametz is? So we're machmir on both ends. We sell it in advance, and we don't buy it back until later. We're machmir just in case. So you have to, when you do appoint a rabbi, a shliach, to sell your chametz, you need to be explicit about that, about where you're going to be, where the chametz is. You know, if you're selling for your apartment in Israel, for your stuff in America, that's a very important thing. Also, in general, chametz, I think we've mentioned this, should be sold before you actually burn the chametz. Otherwise, you're not really fulfilling the mitzvah of tashbisu in an active way. Because even if we hold that hashvasas b'chol davar, it needs to be an active destruction. You need to actively destroy the chametz. If you still own chametz when you destroy your 10 little pieces of bread, but you still own a whole garage full of chametz at home with cereal and pasta and everything else, and you're just planning on selling it later, well, then you haven't done the biur chametz when you think you did. By in the morning, right after shachris, you go by the firehouse and you burn the 10 pieces of bread. What do you mean? You got a whole a whole box of cereal that your kids are eating at home right now. Well, that's not biur chametz. Later you're going to sell that. So that's what Shechter is very makbid, that he only burns those little 10 pieces of bread after the chametz has been sold. That's why he's makbid to sell dafka through Rabbi Willig, because Rabbi Willig calls him right after he hit the mechira and says, Rabbi Shechter, you can burn your chametz now. And then he goes in and he burns it. Also, if the parents are makbid not to sell chametz gomor, in this case, if the guy's parents are makbid to only sell tarovas chametz and not chametz gomor, then he really has a shayla. Because mistama in the apartment, there is chametz gomor. So if they're not going to be selling their chametz gomor, he has a shayla. We discussed that last week, right? Whether you could do a harama on a daraisa and not sell chametz gomor. Just one thing to add. I was talking to my friend Rabbi Shai Shechter about this, and I said, you know, I just said over your father's machlokas with Rav Soloveitchik about selling chametz gomor. He said, oh, did you tell the story of my sister and brother-in-law? I said, no, I don't know the story of your sister and brother-in-law. So he told me that when his sister Yafa got married to Rabbi Tanchum Kohn, their first Pesach together, I told you the story? So their first Pesach together, Tani Rav Tani Cohen notices that his wife is throwing out all of the chametz, and he says, "What are you doing?" And she says, "I'm getting rid of all the chametz gomer. We don't sell chametz gomer." And he says, "What do you mean we don't sell chametz gomer? I've been in your father's shir for X number of years, and every Pesach he tells us from Salvejigel not to sell chametz gomer, but it's really shver, and we do sell chametz gomer, and there's nothing wrong with selling chametz gomer. Every year he says that." She says, I really don't think I got this one wrong. You know, I grew up in the house, and this is something we don't sell chametz gomer. So there's only one way to solve the problem, right? They call up daddy. So they say, "Daddy, are you allowed to sell chametz gomer?" He says, "Yeah, of course. How could you not know that? You sat in my shir for all those years. You know, every year I tell you, you're allowed to sell chametz gomer. Daddy, why don't you sell chametz gomer?" "Oh, because Rav Soloveitchik said it's aser. So let us sell chametz gomer." So different. But if the parents are makbid not to sell chametz gomer, then he really has a shadow, because there may be chametz gomer anywhere in the apartment. Now the truth is, even then, it's probably not really a shadow, because even if you're makbid not to sell chametz gomer, that just means you try to get rid of all your chametz gomer. But your shtar mechira that it's going to say with John Brown is going to include everything. And there's also a clause in the shtar that says that the validity of any of the of any part of the shtar doesn't affect the validity of any other part. So even if you hold that it's not valid to sell chametz gomer, it's okay. You know, it's still going to be valid on the rest of the chametz. But anyway, so let's assume they're makbid not to sell chametz gomer, and there is therefore chametz gomer in the apartment. Does he need to do bedikas chametz before he leaves the apartment? The sugya is in Pesachim Dav Vav Amar Aleph. Amar Rav Yehuda Rav Hamefarish Vayotze B'Shear Kodem Shloshim Yom. Person leaves more than 30 days before Pesach. Ein zokuk levayer. He doesn't have to get rid of the chametz. He's leaving before Purim. He doesn't have to get rid of the chametz. But if he leaves now, he leaves after Purim, zakuk levayir, then he does need to get rid of the chametz. Amar Abaye, so Abaye comments, Hada Amar Toch Shoshim Yom Zakuk Levayir, Lo Amar Ne L'Shaday Talachzar. That when you leave within 30 days, that the idea that you have to get rid of chametz, that's only if you plan on coming back. Rashi says, what does it mean, plan on coming back? Plan on coming back during Pesach. If you don't plan on coming back during Pesach, you don't need to get rid of it even within 30 days. So Rava says, wait a second. If you plan on coming back on Pesach, even if you leave Rosh Hashanah time, you should have to get rid of the chametz. How can you walk back into a house that's full of chametz? Ella Amar Rava. Rava says, no, the way to qualify it is as follows. That which we say that before 30 days, that before 30 days you don't have to get rid of it, lo amron elashein daita lachzar. That's only if you don't plan on coming back. Aval daita lachzar, if you plan on coming back, afilu mirash Hashanah zakuk levar. You have to get rid of it even from Rosh Hashanah. Where do we get this number of 30 days? So the Gemara says, it's patterned after the din of Shaul and Vidarshin, Bilchus HaPesach, Kodem HaPesach, Shloshim Yom. Machlokes the Chamrim Shumim Gamliel, whether it's Shtei Shabbosos or Shloshim Yom, we paskin Shloshim Yom. In fact, that's the very first halacha in Hilchus Pesach, is that you're Shaul and Vidarshin for Shloshim Yom. So you see that Shloshim Yom, you already have to have Pesach on the mind, and therefore you have to worry about Bedikas Chametz already within Shloshim Yom. Now, what emerges from this Gemara is that if you plan on coming back, and again, Rashi says that means B'toch HaPesach, you need to do B'dika even if you left as early as Rosh Hashanah. Beis Yosef quotes the discussion whether the same applies if you leave before Rosh Hashanah. Let's say you have a summer home and you go up to the mountains or something and you spend July and August up in the mountains and you're going to leave before Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah this year is late. What's Rosh Hashanah? Mid-September or something, right? Late September, something like that. So you're going to leave your summer home at the end of the summer before Rosh Hashanah. So do you have to do B'dikas Chametz then if you plan on spending Pesach in your summer home, on going back on Chol HaMoed Pesach and enjoying some nice mountain air in the Chol HaMoed Pesach? So says Beis Yosef, of course you do. Of course you have to. Even if you leave before Rosh Hashanah, of course you do. In this context, Rosh Hashanah probably just means the beginning of the year, which means since last Pesach. It doesn't mean Rosh Hashanah. He points out that the Rush, the Rif, and the Rambam don't even mention the words Rosh Hashanah when they quote this halacha, because there's no reason why Rosh Hashanah should make any difference when it comes to this halacha. If you don't plan on coming back, so the Gemara says it all depends on whether you left within 30 days. But there are a number of questions on just what this Gemara means. First of all, what does it mean, don't plan on coming back? You're not coming back until after Pesach? What if you will be coming back, not on Pesach, not after Pesach, but before Pesach? For example, I left my house within 30 days of Pesach just this morning. I plan on going back to my house in about an hour, right? But I left just this morning. So did I have to do Bedikas Chametz before I left my house this morning? Because, or it's Toch Shloshim Yom. So did I have to do Bedikas Chametz before I leave my house? How far of a trip does it have to be, right? That's a, you know, so my commute from my house to Queens is what, to a half hour or so? What if I worked further away? What if I worked an hour away? What if I worked 5 hours, right? So how far of a trip does it have to be? You know, Rabbi Kivegra has such a discussion in Hilchos Mezuzah that he says if you leave a house without any inhabitants, so then it's Pata from Mezuzah, since Tasav Lomanasu when you move back in. So every day you got to take down your mezuzah and put it back up. If you leave your house empty, it's without its inhabitants. The Pashas is obviously not that way. We assume that, no, the house has not been left without its inhabitants. That's how you live in a house. You don't live in a house by being, you live in a jail by being locked in there all the time. You don't live in a house by being caged in the entire time. Also, what's the logic? How does it help me avoid the Yisurim of Chametz? You know, if just because Ein Daita Lachzar, what do you mean? So I'm going to leave a house full of Chametz and that's okay? Remember, we're assuming no Mechir. So what does that even mean? So to deal with the issues, the poskim obviously deal with all of them. What if you're coming back? Let's take one at a time. What if you're coming back before Pesach? So the Rambam in the second paragraph of Hilchos Chametz Masa, Halacha Yutes, holds that even if you come back before Pesach, you need to do bedikah ovir before leaving. Why? Because you might be delayed and you're going to end up not coming back until Pesach. So you think you're coming back before Pesach, but you might come back very late. You might, I just saw on somewhere on one of the from news sites, this the chevra from Lakewood, these two guys from Lakewood, two businessmen from Lakewood landed in JFK at 6:24 on Erev Shabbos, and they had to make it back to Lakewood in time for Shabbos, so they arranged for a helicopter to get them. You know, things could happen last minute on Erev Shabbos. I don't think, by the way, that that's a great Kiddush Hashem, that had to happen. I think in general we should try to avoid traveling on Erev Shabbos, huh? Okay, I don't know, but so we should avoid traveling on Erev Shabbos to the extent possible. I don't know the circumstances behind the trip. Maybe it was pikuach nefesh or whatever. I don't know. I don't know anything. I'm not saying bad about anybody, but. Okay, there are no from communities near JFK. The Ritz Gaius is quoted by the Torah in Siman Tav Lamed Vav. He agrees with the Rambam that you never know, you might make it back very late, right before Pesach, and that's gonna be a problem. The Ran in Pesachim Daf Beis on Beis B'Daf Yariv Dibra Maskel Chemtzo also agrees, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Beis Yosef, however, understands that Rashi disagrees. And Rashi holds that if you return before Pesach, it's the same as returning after Pesach. That and therefore would not require bedikah. But the way we pass in la'alacha is that you do require bedikah if you plan on coming back before Pesach. If you plan on coming back to your house before Pesach. So that leads to the next question. Okay, so then how far of a trip does this really apply to? So the Beis Yosef in the name of Agos Maimonios in Parak Beis says that it's only if you're Yotze B'Shayara. The Gemara gives the example of Yotze B'Shayara. You're going somewhere far away on a caravan. Didaito Leleches Rachok. You want to go a great distance, but a little trip doesn't warrant a bedika before you go. The Mishra Brura in Sifkat and Tes writes, V'Dafka B'Mfarish Liyama Yotze B'Shayara L'Derech Rachoka Afilu Daito Lachzor's Man Rav Kodem Pesach Hashin Hashem Yishtahe. You're leaving 3 weeks before Pesach, you plan on coming back 3 days before Pesach, but you're going for a long trip very far, and the travel plans are very iffy. I just got a call from a guy this morning who was planning on was out of town for a few days, and he was planning on making it back this morning. Flight was canceled. He's not going to be able to make it back for Shia this morning. These things happen if you go very far away. But if you're going somewhere close, you're commuting, your daily commute, even B'toch Lamed Yom, I didn't have to do B'dikas Chametz before I left my house this morning. Umikol Makom, says the Mishnah Berurah, Hakolofia Inyan. Everything needs to be assessed based on the reality of the situation. D'lefam, Afilu B'derech Krova, Im Magbil Zman B'yom, Yosu b'tzimtzum karvul zman abdika chashin shem ishta. You could imagine someone, an accountant, sometimes like April 15th, the deadline is like on the first days of Pesach or something, and they are crazy. I grew up in, my father's an accountant and my wife's an accountant, so like this is my whole life. Like, I mean, I don't have the stress, but I have secondhand stress. So they're absolutely crazed right before Pesach. So you could imagine even going to the office in that morning, the morning of Erev Pesach, oh, I plan on coming back, or the morning of the day before, but I plan on coming back. Sometimes they end up sleeping in the office. Sometimes they end up coming back at 2 in the morning. Sometimes they end up, you don't know. You don't know exactly how. So you really have to figure out, based on the circumstance, whether it's a legitimate chashash. The chashash that the Rambam has, that you may be delayed, you may not come back in time, you have to know whether it's a legitimate chashash. Obviously, this year it works out very well for accountants. We're actually going to be able to kasher our kitchen and everything. Okay, v'tzarech livdok mikodem. I mean, we do that every year. V'tzarech livdok mikodem. Maybe you would have to do bedika before you leave. V'yesh mekilim b'zeh samar mekla. That l'maisa yesh ladun lefi kiruv v'richa kamakom. He says you have to assess based on how far the place is. In Sharetzion in Osir Aleph, he says that a mikol makom siyam hamagen Avram b'zeh da'kol lefi inyan. Even though it is based on distance, strictly speaking, la'alach, it's based on distance, ha'kol lefi inyan. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah seems to be nota toward, that you really need to be honestly assess the kind of situation that it is. And he points out in Sharetzion Sifkan Yud Beis that although the Eli Rabba, the Chak Yosef, agree with the Magen Avram, the Chak Yaakov does not, and is makel whenever you're not traveling too far. Okay, that's a machlokas achronim. Is it purely based on distance or based on common sense as well? What if you know that you have chametz there? So what does that mean? You're going to just leave your chametz there? So the Ran in Daf Beis Amud Beis, Daf Arif, Dibur Maskul Garsinan quotes a Yerushalmi that this entire halacha is only if you don't know for sure that you have chametz. But if you do know for sure that you have chametz, then of course you have to do bedikah of beer whenever you leave, and whether or not you plan on returning, you're going to have to do I'm only coming back after Pesach. So what? What about the fact that you're going to be owning chametz the entire Pesach? So that's what the Yerushalmi says. Then if you know that you own chametz, it's only misafek that you don't have to do it. But if you know that you own chametz, you have to do it. However, the Beis Yosef points out that the Bavli seems to disagree with this Yerushalmi and seems to assume that even if you know about the chametz, you would not have to do bedikah of beer. If you leave more than Shloshim Yom Kodem and you don't plan on returning until after Pesach, you're fine. What about the fact that I own chametz? That's what Bittul is for. Weren't Chazal Masakin Bedika? Yeah. Shema Yavol Yachlo. You might come to eat the chametz. That's why they were Masakin Bedika. If the apartment's in Israel and you're in America, you're not going to come to eat the chametz. So you don't have to worry about Shema Yavol Yachlo if you're not going to be back there until after Pesach. Mishbur and Sivkat Nehe says, Im Yesh Chametz Yadua, Mishbur writes, Yesh Omrim Dechayiv Levar Kodem Shietzei. V'yesh makilim b'davar. Quotes Yerushalmi as a yesh omrim. Interesting. But the pashtus is like the Beis Yosef says from the Bavli that we could be makel. So at the end of the day, this fellow, certainly the mechira solves all of his problems. But let's say they're not going to do a mechira. Let's say they're makbin not to sell chametz gamur. So would he then have to do a bedikas chametz? Well, if no one is going to be back at that apartment until after Pesach, so then you have a case of a person who is ein daito lachzor. But still, Rava says, when we say kodem shoshim yom, ein zakuk levayer, that's only if ein daito lachzor. But within shloshim yom, even when ein daito lachzor, l'chara, you would have to do a proper bedika. So in that circumstance, l'chara, this would be an applicable rule that he would have to do a proper bedika. Certainly, we paskin like the shita of Rava. We paskin is not one of the yal kigam. We paskin like the shita of Rava. So that is. But the mechira again solves that problem as well.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.